This is TurnbuckleTrash.net. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
I love video games and pro wrestling.
With three fans who know how to talk some trash.
None of these cross-eyed mouth breathers deserve to hear this voice.
I guess it's time to take out the trash.
Hi, everyone. It is Dave Dedden, and joining me right now on Turnbuckle Trash in North Carolina, we are talking to Christopher Evans. Yes. How you doing, Chris?
It's a beautiful day here in Charlotte, North Carolina, on I-77, about to hit the I-85 to my home in Salisbury. The rain and the storms and the lightning is coming down, but we're going to be talking lightning tonight because we got some Turnbuckle Trash to talk about.
Yeah, we do. And before we get into the biggest majority of this portion of our podcast, I want to say we're going to be joined a little bit later on by some talent that is training at the Nightmare Factory along with Manny Smith, and they perform with AEW, but we'll talk to them a little bit later on. We're going to have Psycho, and we're going to talk a lot about Doc Gallows, including something special Doc Gallows did for us, okay?
All right.
But before we get too far in, we need to acknowledge the death of one of the greats, especially in the tag team division, beautiful Bobby Eaton. He died at the age of 62 years old. Now, I don't believe he ever performed in the WWE. I'm not 100% sure of that.
But most of
his career was in Georgia Championship Wrestling, Mid-South Wrestling, and also in WCW as a member of the Midnight Express, Jim Cornette's Midnight Express. I remember Bobby best as him being a member of the Midnight Express with Dennis Condrey, but also for a while, Sweet Stan Lane, who was a member of the Fabulous Ones, did also perform as a member of the Midnight Express. So before we get too far into it, I'd like to talk more about the career of beautiful Bobby. We'll do that right after we have the 10 Bells. Now, Chris, you were the one that sent the message to me to tell me about Bobby Eaton passing. What a great tag team partner he was. And, you know, he wasn't that beautiful, but, boy, he could really go in the ring. What, couldn't he?
The man was phenomenal tag team, even in single competition. I was listening to Jim Cornette's podcast where you could barely get through it. But he was talking about Bobby's career and all the troubles he's gone through in life. But this man has a storybook, and it's just amazing what he went through. But he was a worker.
He was a worker.
And he was a good wrestler. But we'll always remember beautiful Bobby Eaton as the Midnight Express.
Yeah,
and that's all there is to it.
And, you know, with Dennis Condrey, like I said, that's where I remember him best as part of Jim Cornette's Midnight Express. And they had legendary feuds with Roll Express, the Fabulous Ones for a while. And then they even feuded with the Road Warriors. Remember, they did that scaffold match?
Mm-hmm.
I think it was the very first scaffold match that ever took place.
And that's where Jim Cornette blew out both knees when he dropped to the mat, too.
Yeah,
Bobby was trying to catch him, and he couldn't do it. Big Bubba Rogers, the big boss man, tried to catch him. He missed him. He says, "Corny, you fell so fast." It's amazing the years that Bobby was around. And I mean, I didn't even know this until I listened to the podcast that beautiful Bobby Eaton was married to Bill Dundee's daughter.
Yeah.
I had no idea.
Superstar Bill Dundee. And here's, I think, one of the best things that I've heard about any wrestler. And And I wish somebody, when I pass, can say the same thing about me. He was just a good guy.
Yes, he was.
All the other wrestlers thought Bobby Eaton was one of the best, just as a man. He was always thinking of others. There's the story that he would take extra toiletries in his luggage in case one of the boys forgot to bring shampoo and soap and toothpaste. And then the story with superstar Bill Dundee, who told his daughter that she could not date any wrestlers. But he didn't want her involved with that. Then he found out she went behind his back and was in love with a wrestler, and he was ready to, you know, go Hulk up and beat up some people. He found out it was Bobby Eaton, and he says, "You can't do better than that." That is a tribute to that man.
Yeah, it is. And the GoFundMe account was shut. They need to raise money for the funeral expenses and everything. And they had the funeral expenses paid for within, I'd say, maybe a day.
Uh-huh.
That's how the wrestling community has come through for him. But there was a lot of things I didn't know that, as a singles wrestler, I found this out that Ric Flair didn't want to beat Bobby Eaton when he went up for, you know, they were doing a dark match. I think it was a dark match, or was it a television match?
I think it was a television match. Yeah. And they were just trying to get better ratings for the television.
Yeah. And Flair said, "I don't want to beat him. Let's do a DQ."
Yeah.
That's how much respect the wrestlers had for, and he tagged team with Coco Beware when he was Sweet Sugar Brown in Memphis, I believe.
Uh-huh.
Now, I could be wrong about that.
I think that's right. I think it was in the Mid-South Territory, Memphis Wrestling, CWA. And that's where he and Jim Cornette hooked up. And I want to go back to Jim Cornette because I've been kind of hot and cold on Jim Cornette over the years, you know, and I know you listen to his podcast all the time. But to hear Jim Cornette tried to get through talking about his friend, Bobby Eaton. And it wasn't just a working relationship. You could tell that Jim Cornette respected and loved the man, and he could barely get through talking about this, I think, a legend in the tag team ranks, Bobby Eaton. I mean, when you talk the Midnight Express, you first think a beautiful Bobby Eaton, and that's all I can say, man.
Beautiful Bobby Eaton was the glue that held the Midnight Express together.
Yes.
And no, I mean, Jim was having a hard time doing the podcast, but you have to remember, ladies and gentlemen, Jim Cornette stayed with the Midnight Express. He did everything for them: tickets, hotels, cars. They would ride together, talk together. These people, to him, they were like family. This is not like this is like a brother to him.
Yeah.
And they were still in contact with each other. And when beautiful Bobby, before he died, he told Corny, he says, "Well, they're letting me out of the hospital." And then Wednesday, that was it.
Yeah.
Wednesday, he passed away.
And by the way, his wife did pass away in June. That was kind of a shocking thing, although she did have cancer, I understand. And a lot of people are saying that Bobby just died of a broken heart. He had a lot of ailments. He was diabetic. He had had several concussions during his career, and he was having trouble getting around. But
he fell and broke his hip, I believe. That's why all this started up.
And I remember about a year and a half ago, I think it was, and I can't remember if it was in Knoxville, Nashville, or Jackson, that they did a big tribute, a wrestling match for Bobby Eaton. And all the wrestlers donated their time and the money they would get to Bobby Eaton. And that kind of tells you the kind of man he was. And like I said, if when I pass away, if somebody can say, "Well, that Dave Denton, he was a good man and a good heart," you can't ask for higher praise from me. I think that's incredible. So
it is. It's awfully good. But, I mean, it's 62 years of age, too young. But, I mean, this man gave everything he had to the professional wrestling world, and he will be missed. And we've already given our 10 bells to him, but we all bow our heads and pay respects for his family, his children at this time.
Couldn't say it better myself. So let's talk about something else. Let's talk about professional wrestling.
Sounds like a winner to me.
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
This isn't a social event. This is a competition where there's one winner. You don't see the Elfers before a fight playing with jacks and juice boxes. No, they talk trash and they beat the crap out of each other.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Chris, what in the blue blazes, what in the world, what in the is going on at the WWE and NXT, man?
My problem with this is, okay, you're letting talent go. That's understandable because you got to cut the fat off the meat eventually. But you basically shocked the wrestling world when one person said, you know, best in your endeavors.
Yeah.
Bray Wyatt. Are you kidding me? Rotunda, you're doing this to him? Why? What is it, his contract? Was it too much? What's the deal? That makes no sense.
And Zane and I are going to talk about this a little bit in his segment coming up on Turnbuckle Trash. But Zane texted me today because on Monday Night Raw this week, when Alexa Bliss was out, you heard the crowd saying, Wyatt, we want Wyatt. And Zane's got the feeling that it's a work, that they're going to bring him back later to the fold of the WWE, and they might have plans for, who knows, at SummerSlam. Who knows?
He did do a tweet with a different-looking face and says, you can't kill this. But it didn't have at WWE or nothing like that. And everybody's saying, oh, he's going to AEW. No, he's not. He's got a 90-day clause. He can't.
Yeah.
He's got the 90-day clause. He can't go to AEW. And by gosh, his gimmick was so good in the WWE. The Fiend, Bray Wyatt, Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Come on. Why do this? It doesn't make any sense.
And then the reports coming out are that executives at USA Network, at Fox, are upset because they can read the reports. They can read the social interaction. They can read who's selling the most merchandise. And Bray Wyatt was, you know, with not being on TV but once since WrestleMania, was still one of the big sellers of merch in the WWE. It makes no sense to me unless they're trying to get a better contract from him. Or maybe he's trying to get a better contract from the WWE. But 11 wrestlers, all in the NXT brand, were released last Friday. And that, Bronson Reed, who was just in the North American title picture. Bobby Fish, he just got back up from injury. And they let him go that soon. I don't comprehend.
Well, I mean, like I put on our Facebook page, get a picture of Triple H, have your contract, get a picture, and then there's your release.
Yeah.
Thank you for coming. Hope you enjoyed your time. That makes – okay, now I understand that Triple H is not the vice president of somewhat of like talent relations. Somebody else is. Somebody went above him. He's not the second guy in charge anymore. Has Vince lost his last marble, or is Vince trying to destroy his own creation? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. You're losing all these wrestlers. The only one that we haven't seen in a while, in about a year, has been Brock Lesnar. We haven't seen Brock. So is Brock coming back to save the WWE? Or
I hope not.
I hope not either, because I don't want to see him.
I don't either.
I don't want to see him. I don't want to see Cena. I want to see new talent and new talent pushed. But every time you push, you fire them. Are you really? I mean, good Lord. But AEW's having a blast. They're picking these people up left and freaking right.
Now you said something about NXT, and I want to go back to what the reports I'm reading from pro wrestling websites and things like that. They're saying that Vince has said that he no longer wants NXT wrestlers signed who are over 30 years old or short.
What?
Yeah, that he wants that certain type of charisma, the people he thinks can be big stars. And
fine, go get Elegante then. Okay, yeah.
Go
get Elegante.
There have been, please no. But there were actually some fans that are backing Vince up. And, you know, you can have your opinion, okay? That I'm not saying that you're an idiot because this is your opinion. It is your opinion. One person said they stopped watching NXT because of Tommaso Ciampa and Johnny Gargano and their feuds. And I'm going, are you kidding me? That's when I started watching because the storylines were so awesome. They were so good at their takeover events. Tommaso and Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano, I think for three, maybe four takeovers, they knocked the ball. I mean, they knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, because that was the best match they had. And Tommaso Ciampa, he's got a lot of age on him. I don't know what his age is right now, but I mean, he's been in the business for a while, but the man can still go. He looks like $1 million. He is built like a brick house. Are you kidding me? Come on. Okay, whoever said that and is backing that up, get off the crack. That is ridiculous. Okay, see, that's why I can't stand social media anymore because, I watched the WWE all the dang time, and then I watched AEW. You know what? Go back to preschool, you idiot.
And then the ones I don't like are the ones that say, AEW is just WCW reborn. Wrong, you know.
Now wait a minute. You have flown that flag right there and beat the drum of no, it's not WCW, and you've done a heck of a job because, I mean, it's not WCW, guys. If it was WCW, we would see, but we're seeing more of WWE wrestlers, and we're seeing new people that we've never known before.
Oh. And that, go ahead. I was just going to say.
No, go ahead, please.
I was just going to say, I think that's where AEW and real wrestling fans are kind of gravitating that way. I mean, they're not going away from WWE, don't get me wrong. But not only are you getting your established stars that are in AEW, but you're getting people like Darby Allin. You're getting the people like the Best Friends, Orange Cassidy. What was it, last week or 2 weeks ago? They had a Bullet Club member who was Haku's son, who looks very young in the face, but he's like 6'10". You're getting people from the NWA coming in.
Yep.
You're getting people from Impact Wrestling coming in. And these wrestling organizations are, and I hope they're going to do it right, cooperating with each other for the betterment of each one of these promotions. And I'm hoping one of them doesn't get a little greedy and say, well, I want my guys to be nothing but the champions and I want them to win every time. That's not the way it's going to work. You're going to have people coming in from the NWA and beating up an AEW wrestler to get that little feud going between the two shows. I have no problem with that. And I think we're getting to see a better flavor, more competition, to say the least, with AEW, which gets ready to start a brand new program on Friday nights on TNT. And remember, Dynamite is switching to TBS, I think, around the first of the year. You've also got AEW Dark, AE Dark Evolution, and then Rampage coming up. And as I'm talking to Zane later in this program, Monday Night Raw, Tuesday night, you got NXT, AEW, Thursday night, Impact Wrestling, SmackDown, and the new AEW show on Friday nights. Oh, what a great time to be a wrestling fan, not an AEW fan, not an Impact fan, not a WWE fan, a wrestling fan.
Wrestling fan.
I love it, man. I love it.
I do, because, you know, and I'm going to, I know we were going to say this before, I'm really happy for the promotion out of Salt Lake Devotion, because now, tell me I'm wrong, AEW has kind of, you know, come to them and said, well, let's see what you guys have got, and let's put you guys on TV and see. And one of, I mean, they're all doing real well with Devotion. I mean, Devotion's doing very well with AEW. And they're going to, I mean, with the Nightmare Factory, Cody's school, one of them, from what Manny said, Manny, your interview with Uncle David was perfect. I loved your answers. It was great. But I'm glad that the smaller promotions are getting some time and somebody's giving them a chance.
Yes.
That's perfect. It's perfect.
And then, of course, the Devotion is also involved with the Al Snow Wrestling Academy, Ohio Valley.
Yep.
Wrestling, mm-hmm. And then some of the wrestlers with DCW are starting to branch out a little bit. You've got Tombstone Jesus that's been wrestling in Southern California, along with mm-hmm. Otto Van Clutch, and then you've got the former Brother Austin, Buff Miche, who's been going in Georgia. And I don't know if you saw it today or not, but Manny is going to be with a new promotion also in Georgia that's going yep. to have a TV program on Channel 17. Now, you remember Channel 17 out of Atlanta, because mm-hmm. you and I used to watch that together
yep.
on the cable. Then that morphed yep. into, what was it, Georgia Championship Wrestling? Then
Georgia.
And then it morphed into everything WCW. Else. Yeah. So at World Class.
But then it was Georgia. Wasn't it Georgia? Then the NWA took over?
yeah. And then for a short time, Vince even bought the promotion.
Yep, he did. Yep.
And then
back
he
in
sold 80, it. Yeah, he
back
sold
in 87.
It. I think he sold yep. it to Jim Herd. But where, mm-hmm. where I'm getting at is this kind of takes wrestling back to its roots. Because when Channel 17 started getting on all the TV channels, and as far as cable TV, wrestling saw a little bit of a boom. I was in college. My best friend Larry would come over on Saturday afternoons. I think it was at 4 o'clock Mountain Time. And we watched 2 hours of wrestling before we'd do anything else on Saturday night. And, you know, we're college yep. guys, so we're doing other things on Saturday night, if you get my drift.
Of course.
And then Manny's going to be involved with that. Also, Doc Gallows is going to be supplying wrestlers for that. It's going to be on Channel 17 out of Atlanta, which morphed into, when Ted Turner bought it, WTBS, and now it's just the cable channel TBS TNT. That's the background that I just go. I'm just freaking out because I love it. I love it.
Well, let me break away for a second. I want to congratulate somebody that's in the wrestling community. He's finally a world champion, but where he is a world champion is I really don't like it. But Zack Ryder, Matt Cardona, is now the GCW World Heavyweight Champion, beat Nick Gage for the title.
Yeah.
And there's another thing. Yeah, I know.
I like him. I like Matt.
Well, Matt was good, but he deserves it. Believe me, he's got a lot of success. But I have one question for you. When Nick Gage walked out in AEW, what was your first thought?
Why? He looked like an old man. He looked yep. like he had been beat to, you know what, which he had the week yep. before. That's when Matt yep. did it. And then he pulls out that pizza cutter, the first thing, and cuts Jericho's arm.
I love it. And then when he goes for Jericho's head, the Domino's pizza ad comes up.
Yeah.
I loved it. And they lost the sponsor.
I don't eat pizza anyway. Sorry, Domino's. it didn't affect me at all. But
that was priceless. Now, that was so priceless.
I caught so much flack on social media because I put on the All Elite page, a fan page, that if I never yep. saw Nick Cage again, it'd be too soon. And I had almost 250 responses, and I would say about half and half. some people call me every name in the book. And, you know, I don't know if it was this one. I think it was in a Real Wrestling page that I put something and the guy told me to pull my head out.
Yep.
So I said to him, I think it was on Real Wrestling page. I said, I think I'll take your advice. I think I will pull my head out. Thank you very much for setting me straight. And, well, he didn't like that. smart ass. Yes, I am.
Nick Gage is an outlaw mud show wrestler, a bank robber, a drug addict, some kind of DKS, some kind of gang members. Nick Gage is the worst person to ever put into a ring. Why did Jericho think, you know, in the middle of the night, he probably shrugged, hey, let's have a match with Nick Gage?
Here's the thing. I think it might have been to give him a good paycheck.
Oh, yeah. You know,
but also, think about this. We've discussed it about AEW. They're trying to please a lot of wrestling fans. And there is an audience out there for that hardcore, just backyard type stuff where they're using the panes of glass and they're using the fluorescent tubes. And, you know, there is an audience out there for that. And believe you me, I am not one to say that you can't do that because it's still lawful. I don't like it. But I'll tell you this, the best kind of hardcore match I saw that did that was on Lucha Underground. One involved Marty Casals, which was a bloody, bloody mess. And then the guy who plays Swerve on NXT, he was involved in one too. And, man, they were just – but it seemed like there was a storyline between both of them. And that's where I think the story with Nick Gage kind of fell apart. I know it had to do with the trials of Jericho, but, you know, it just didn't make sense to me. And once again, if you liked it, that's fine. So,
No, I didn't like it. I hated every minute of it because I knew what this guy was. But then when he said Juventud Guerrera hadn't been seen in 15 years on television.
Yeah, he's been in AAA, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, now you're bringing him in. And, oh, my gosh, when he said Juventud Guerrera, I was like, what in the world?
Uh-huh.
I mean, but you know what? That's fine. We haven't seen him in a long time. Let's see what the man can do. Did you see the match? How was it?
It was good. It was fun. It was high flying. Yeah. And I thought they were going to stop it when Jericho basically fell off the top rope on top of Hoovy. But they went on. I was saying, how you know, that had been a great way that Jericho was getting on the top rope because he had to win with the top rope move.
With the top rope move, yeah.
Yeah, and then here's Hoovy getting up there and starts beating on his head, almost knocks him out, and then they both fall off, and Jericho just lands on top of him for the count. But it was more of a clean victory for Jericho. But I thought, wouldn't that be ironic if they were in the match and Jericho is almost knocked out and he just falls right on top of Hoovy?
So what's the next step? So who's the next step?
So the next trial of Jericho is against Wardlow.
Oh, wow.
And at ringside will be MJF. And then I think the announcers last week, and it might have been Jim Ross, kind of messed it up saying, you know, that meant that he was going to be an official. Now, I don't think he said that. I think that he was going to be ringside for this match against Wardlow. Wardlow's going to be a star in the future. I will agree with that.
Yeah, he will be. He will be eventually. Yes, he will. But my thing is, I'm loving what the NWA is doing. Is look who has been their champion for almost 3 years now.
Right.
And they have not removed that belt yet. That is storyline after storyline after storyline.
Well, he's a strong name in the industry, and that's what the NWA needs.
And then Mickey James is back with the NWA, and then she's going over to Impact at the same time, so it's a great story. And I'm loving every minute of it. But now John Moxley's wife,
Renee.
Let's see if she's supposed to be making her debut. in the announcement, where will she land? Don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know wherever they would put her.
Yeah.
I would let her be in charge of the female division instead of, doing announcing.
Yeah, right, but now one of the people backstage in the female division is Vicky Guerrero.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
Vicky is very, very bright as far as wrestling storylines and all that. And so you can always use help, because you've got up and coming stars like Jade Cargill.
Yep.
She's going to be a star, but she's very, very green.
And oh, yes, very much.
You and I and Zane, all when AEW started, we said that the women's division was weak. And it was.
Yeah, it was.
It is getting better. I mean, you got Sheeta, and then you got this Layla Hirsch, who's a little short girl, but she can go. I mean, you've got some good stuff there. Red Velvet and Thunder Rosa, now a part of the women's division at AEW.
Oh, yeah.
So it's improving, but does it need more improvement? Yeah, you bet it does. But that's where AEW Dark and AEW Evolution and then the new Rampage show will be able to give some of these people that are working very hard training with the Nightmare Factory. They can move up, get a little TV exposure, also get a little bit of in-ring exposure. You know who we forgot to talk about? Abaddon.
Oh, yeah.
Abaddon. I love me some Abaddon. So,
oh my gosh.
But what I'm saying is you can train. But unless you're in front of a live crowd and you've got to make these moves without the coach stopping you and say, hey, don't do it that way. You got to do this. And then calling the match inside the ring, there's nothing like experience in front of a live crowd. So I think that's where having all these shows, but not necessarily having them on network TV, having them on YouTube where real fans can watch if they want to. And that's where we've already seen Manny on there. We've seen Rekha DeHaka on there. We're gonna see a lot of very talented wrestlers coming up. And that's gonna be the new stars 4 to 5 years down the road, when people like Christian have saying they're gonna retire, and then maybe Matt Hardy will go back to North Carolina, please. Sorry. I'm not a Hardy fan.
Well, I'm not a Hardy fan anymore after the delete.
Delete! 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 Delete!
Brother Nero and all that. I lost all respect for them when they did all this, but you know what? It revived his character, brought him a new gimmick, but it got old quickly.
Yeah, it did.
You can only say delete so many times.
And they've stopped him. Now he's the banker type. He's the money man.
I know. It's absolutely getting ridiculous. And if you want to hear some comedy, get on, look at some of the Twitter fights between Matt Hardy's wife and Jim Cornette. It has been brutal. Jim, I'm sorry, but I don't like how you talk to a woman like that. I will say that about him. That the stuff that he said to her was uncalled for, but geez, it's been classic, and it was just, it's brutal. I mean, brutal.
Now, I am not the biggest Jim Cornette fan. I think he's brilliant.
Yep.
I don't like the language he uses constantly. I mean, that's probably my biggest thing. I get so tired of hearing the F-bomb every other sentence,
Well,
I just think it could be.
Yep. And I don't really want to put his podcast on ours because of that, but there's nothing we can do about it. That's just him.
That's
the way he is.
And he's got a lot of fans. He's got a lot more fans than we do, But,
he does, but a lot of people are Jim Cornette fans, but we're wrestling fans. And if you were ever to talk to Jim Cornette.
I would love to talk to Jim Cornette.
Hours
of
the history of wrestling.
Oh yeah, I would love to just sit down and talk to him. Honestly, I mean that's no joke, because he's been around. He knows the history of wrestling. He collects wrestling memorabilia. And, I mean, I think he's a fascinating man. I get tired of the language. That's all I can say.
Yeah.
That's just me.
The language could be toned down a lot on his podcast, but that's what he's known for, ladies and gentlemen. He's known for that, and he's known for blowing up in about 5 seconds, which he has.
Yeah.
But, ladies and gentlemen, this has been a great podcast. I'm glad to be back on it. I'm sorry that I missed the last one, but work has just had me, you know, I'm just now getting home. So here it is. I just got off at 8, and I've been at work since 6 o'clock this morning.
Well, so, I appreciate you coming on with us for a short time.
Oh, I love every minute of it.
And coming up next, we're going to be talking with some wrestlers that are training with the Nightmare Factory. We're going to have Psycho, a manager in DCW, and something special from Doc Gallows. And we're going to talk to Zane. And I got to tell you this, Zane was so excited about the show at DCW. You're going to hear it in his voice. It's like a kid in a candy shop. And that's all going to come up. Go ahead.
Well, Zane, I wish we could have gotten together. We need to bring the Triple Threat back whenever we can. I know you're busy, and I know you've got a lot of things going on, but one of these days we're going to have to get together and have the Triple Threat and start talking wrestling again. But hopefully that'll be sooner than later. That's no here nor there.
Well, if we could get you guys to stop working all the time, making a living, and maybe become retired like me, you know. So,
like my father told me, you'll never see retirement, son.
I hear you. So,
all right. Well, okay. I'm at the house. Thank you all very much for Turnbuckle Trash. Everyone, please be careful, and please let's say some prayers for beautiful Bobby Eaton's family again. And that is it for me, and thank you all for letting me be on the show again.
Hi, this is Dave Denton. Let my voice go to work for you. It's davesvoiceworks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X. And you can hear samples of my on-air work and also some of the commercials I've done over the years. And while you're there, check out my other podcast, which is called Radio Guy Reflections. There's pictures from some of my career and more, all at davesvoiceworks.com. DaysVoiceWorks.com. Spell works, W-O-R-X.
More trash is on the way on TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Oh, he's got him in a subatomic headlock. Ow, that's gotta hurt.
Actually, I can tell you from experience, it does hurt.
You were wrestling?
No, just married.
It's time to take out the trash.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Turnbuckle Trash. It's me, it's Zane P. Or as Dave likes to call me, Zane O'Mac, the man that puts the Mac Daddy in professional wrestling. And along with me on the telephone, coming via satellite, the man who puts the Buford in David Buford Denton, that's you.
That is me, yes. And for those of you that have seen my post on Facebook and you say, is that his real name? No, Buford is a nickname, okay? That I got back in, well, it's the year of our Lord, 1975, when I went to college. They started calling me Buford, so.
There he is. That's the man.
That's me, baby.
So, Dave, boy, do we have some interesting things to discuss today.
Oh boy, do we.
Oh man, let me tell you, this past weekend there was a star-studded event in Salt Lake City, Utah, featuring the one and the only Big LG, Duck Gallows, Luke Gallows, Sex Ferguson, Fake Kane, whatever you want to call him. He goes by multiple known names.
Festus. Remember Festus?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, you went to the event Saturday, but I went to the meet and greet on Friday, and I planned to be there on Saturday, but a family emergency came up, so I couldn't be there on Saturday night. You got one thing I want to say before we get into this too far. is Doc Gallows was a gentleman. He was huge. But to watch him when he was doing his meet and greet, how he treated everybody with such respect, especially the kids.
Yeah.
There were a couple of young people there that were 8, 9 years old, and I know your son was there on Saturday night. And the way he would get down to their level and talk to them and make them feel special, it was really fun to watch, man. It really was.
He was so awesome.
Uh-huh.
What a cool guy. You know, we got his he autographed a picture for my boy, and he put that TNA tag team. I mean, that is a legit, you know, that is a legit belt.
Yeah.
I mean, that thing is huge. Jackson says it's heavy. I don't know I think Dave, you put a couple pictures up on the interwebs.
Yep.
And one of them was my kid with that belt. And oh my gosh, you should have seen that smile on that kid's face.
Oh, the kids. You got a cute kid in the first place. But he was smiling from ear to ear, holding that championship belt from Impact Wrestling.
And when he went up there, and Jackson's got his big mohawk, they said, they were like, he says, I have hair envy.
Oh, that was fine. That was so fine. So you did that right before the show, didn't you? Because you sent me a picture. And it seemed like the show was going to be starting any time.
Yeah.
So you got there on time?
We got there even a couple minutes early. We were like 5 minutes early.
Yeah, that's awesome.
We were there for the bell and everything, dude.
Oh.
And I'll tell you, you know, perfect lead-in right to the night. I mean, what a great night. I mean, my good heck, the whole entire night, there was not one boring match.
There was
not one moment where you're just like, can we get to the next match? It was entertaining. There was a lot of high spots. There was a lot of talent. The first match was a triple threat between three gals. And I got to find some of these names, Dave, and I got to do a better job of following, because there was a little, I'm guessing she was Hispanic. I'm not sure. She's a dark-skinned gal. And, oh, my gosh, you should have seen her. She was, about 5'0", you know, like Alexa Bliss. But you should have seen her hit those ropes, man. I have never seen anybody. I mean, she would just, when she would hit those ropes, she would lean into them a good, you know, foot and a half, 2 feet in front of the ropes, and they would just, wham, she would throw off the ropes and she'd hit the next ropes. And I mean, that girl was good. Not saying anybody else wasn't good, but she was very entertaining to watch.
Oh, that was a 6-woman tag match.
Yeah. That was there was some good matches. My gosh. And, all night long, it was just super fun. And I'll tell you that, how do you say her name? DM Boyce, or I don't, she was from AEW.
DM Boyce. Yeah. Okay. I know. Penelope.
Good heck. Her and Rekka. Yeah. Unreal, Dave.
They tore it up, I bet.
Unflipping real moves that they were doing was just so, I mean, very difficult. Just awesome. Just awesome.
Well, you know, I don't even know if we even said this. We were talking about Devotions Championship Wrestling's event in Salt Lake City on August the 7th at the Gateway in that beautiful ballroom that has terrible acoustics.
Mm-hmm.
Man, the acoustics in that place are pathetic. But it's a beautiful ballroom. But it was Impact Wrestling makes, they invaded. But that afternoon, and this is the part that it just kills me I couldn't go. But, you know, family takes first. And they were having actual tryouts with wrestlers from basically all over the country and some Canadian wrestlers who tried out for Impact and Scott D'Amore and he gave him critiques and took notes. So we might be seeing some people there. And I know I saw a couple of our favorites and pitchers that were there doing this tryout. One was Martin Casals. Sign him, Impact. Sign him. He's that good. And another one, Bruce Wayans from the Colorado Wrestling Promotion. I love Bruce Wayans.
That guy is so funny.
Uh-huh.
During the Battle Royale, you should have seen him. He was entertaining as heck.
Uh-huh.
I had a big battle, over-the-top Battle Royale for who gets to be the next number one contender. And, oh, my gosh, that guy is so funny. So flippin' funny.
And he has an unusual voice that carries so well when he is interacting with the crowd or with the other wrestlers. When he's interacting, you can hear him so well because his voice doesn't meld in with the crowd noise. And that's what one of the things. And like you said, he's got the talk. I remember I interviewed him one time a couple of years ago, right after I first met him. And I just kind of asked him to cut a promo, and man, he went off.
Yeah.
And I mean, it was just like, bam. And it was funny. It was impactful. And so I'm hoping that Impact will see what I saw in Bruce Wayans, because I think he's a great talent. And Dewey, remember Dewey, the referee? He spoke very highly of Bruce Wayans too, who, by the way, just got engaged.
Oh, wow.
Got engaged to a lady. I don't know her name because I didn't read everything, but it was inside the ring. Bruce, congratulations to Bruce Wayans. Asa, real name. He's a fellow Batman fanatic like I am, and I just think the world of Bruce Wayans. So if you get a chance to see him, you'll know who I'm talking about. I love the dude. So
that guy was awesome.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll tell you, some of those guys, you know, like, I know he's a regular on the independent circuit, that Sam Adonis.
Yes.
That guy, I would not be surprised if you'll see him in NXT or something along the lines.
He is really good, too. Now, Sam's brother is Corey Graves, the announcer.
Oh, really?
On WWE. And of course, he's very good friends with MK Bandit. And MK usually is like his manager in most of his matches, when they're in Mexico, Texas, Arizona, here in Utah. And I wanted to meet Sam so bad on Friday, but by the time I got out of the meet and greet, I couldn't find him, and I needed to get out of town because of the family emergency. But, he's a great talent, and he's got a great look, and he's huge. He's big.
Yeah, he is. That guy's – he's over – I mean, he's probably 6'4". I don't know. I mean, he's tall. He's up tall. There.
And he's got a good look and everything. Go ahead.
Let me tell you something. I know I'm skipping ahead and I'm all over the place here because I'm really excited. But I will tell you, Dave. Yeah, there was a hardcore match. It was the main event. It was the Outlaw Rusty Livings. He's a part of the Idaho Wrecking Crew.
Right.
There was Leo Wolf and I. Dude, mucho respect for that guy.
Yeah, we have Psycho, his manager. On Typical Trash, we're talking to one of the managers at DCW. It is Psycho. Hi, Psycho.
Hey, what's going on, brother?
Okay, now, with DCW, you're paired up with a man who, man, he's one of the best. It's Leo Wolf. Tell us about Leo, man.
Leo Wolf is the uncrowned champion. Tomorrow, he gets another shot at the championship, the Utah State Television Championship. He's already went through the entire roster of DCW, but he's going to go through everybody again. He will be the champion.
Okay, and Psycho, we're gonna watch out. We're gonna be there on Saturday night, so we'll talk about it on the podcast. Now we're gonna switch gears a little bit. We're gonna talk to the man. Let's talk to the man. And your name is? Real name now.
Nick.
Let's just call him Nick. Not as in Saint Nick. No, just Nick.
I am definitely not a saint.
I look more like Saint Nick. Hey, Nick, how long have you been doing this stuff, professional wrestling?
21 years.
21 years. Always in Utah?
No, I've wrestled a few different states.
And give us a couple of those states.
I've wrestled in Nevada, Arizona, California.
After you get a couple of bells wrong, it kind of makes you go, I can't remember, right, Nick?
Yeah, I've had a few concussions.
My memory's not what it used to be.
You know, the 70s were rough on me too, so you know. hey Nick, we wish you the best and we appreciate you being with us on Turnbuckle Trash, and you know you can be on anytime.
All right, I'd be happy to be back.
Ooh, and Psycho, I felt awful. It was a total miss. He was, you know, on the outside of the ring.
Uh-huh.
And the butcher shop tossed a chair out.
Ooh.
And the end of the chair hit him right smack in the eye.
Ow.
I was like, you could tell it really hurt him. Uh-huh. I was like, oh my gosh, that had to hurt. Yeah. It's just one of those things that you don't, you know, that happens in professional wrestling.
Yeah, just one of those things, yeah.
It looked like, but I'll tell you, man, that those guys, what's his name? He's from the butcher shop.
Oh, I know who you're talking about.
Josh Martinez.
Yeah,
I think is what his name.
Yeah.
Dude, that was a. And then it was, I mean, some of this that those guys were. And the ice cream man, Tom Chad, was in there. And I will tell you something, Dave. That was one of the most live entertainment, the funnest entertainment matches I've ever seen live. You know, the funnest and entertaining.
Yeah.
I mean, they tore that fetching house down. Mm. I mean, they went through tables. They had crutches. They were hitting guys over the head. Tom Chad has a toy boat. Say that five times fast.
Uh-huh.
Smacks Josh Martinez right in the face and busting him open.
Yeah, I'm looking at a picture on their page right now on Facebook.
Yeah. What some serious talent there was in that ring. And to have that much stuff going on, and plus the hardcore aspect of it, was flipping crazy. I mean, if Manny booked that or whoever did that, that was cool.
Yeah.
That was way, way, way fun.
And we need to thank Manny and everyone at Devotion Championship Wrestling. They've been great to us over the, you know, the past couple of years, but they work so hard at putting on a great event. They do it once a month at the Gateway. And if you're listening in Utah or Idaho, they got another event coming up in September. And then in October, and it was announced on our podcast last week, that we were the first ones to announce it, that All Elite Wrestling will be coming in and also doing tryouts and also looking at wrestlers and telling them what they need to work on with QT Marshall of the Nightmare Factory. Now, you talk the Nightmare Factory, QT Marshall is also a great performer. You're talking Cody, and you're talking Dustin Rhodes. And when we did our interview with Manny, he was talking about having Arn Anderson walk in. You know, I would have been I'd have been down on my hands and knees going, "We're not worthy. We're not worthy." That's how much I respect Arn Anderson. So,
yeah.
So they got a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know, Dave. You know, there's so much. I mean, that night was just, I don't know. It was worth it. It was worth the drive. It was worth the money. It was well worth everything.
Wow.
And, I mean, I just love to support our local promotion. And I love to see, you know, I mean, it's way cool to see, you know, Doc Gallows and a lot of these names that were there, you know, a lot of really, really, really well respected names on the independent circuit and stuff. Wow. You know, it was way awesome. But even without that, you know, big name and stuff. It could have been. It was an awesome, awesome show.
Yeah, I mean, you get people like Tombstone Jesus there, Ice Cream Man Tom, Chad. Then you get Andrew Sowell, who's the champion right now. And there's a great picture on the Devotion Championship Wrestling page. It's kind of funny because Andrew's not quite as tall as Doc Gallows, and they're getting ready to do a two sweet, and Andrew can't quite reach it. Oh,
it was so funny. It was, then Doc Gallows gave him a big boot.
Yeah,
and just great, great. Everything about the night was super fantastic. I mean, a night like that, just it's one that you remember forever. You know, you'll be like, hey, you know, I remember the time, and my kid will remember that forever. You know, he'll see, hey, I met that guy. You know, I got a picture with him. Here it is. Check this out.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just super, super cool.
Well, I tell you what we'll do right now, because I think we need to just take a quick little break and put one of our interviews in real quick, because we were talking about the Nightmare Factory, and we're going to put in an interview I did outside right before the Friday event at Marcosium Motors in Salt Lake City. And these all three train at the Nightmare Factory: James Tappa, Abraham Storm, and Jameson Ryan. And they all are really good. And I think you might be seeing these guys in the near future. You've already seen, I think it was James Tappa. He's been on 205 Live. He's been on AEW Dark. And other guys are still training and getting ready to be on. Let's run that interview right now, and we'll be back with more right after this on Turnbuckle Trash. Hi, everyone. Dave Denton. We're at Turnbuckle Trash right now. We are in Salt Lake City because we're getting ready for a little meet and greet with the guys from All Elite Wrestling, Impact Wrestling. Doc Gallows is going to be here, but I got some guys that are training right now with the Nightmare Factory, and we got a couple of them here, and we're going to talk to them. Let's talk to my guy here from St. Peter's, Missouri, originally.
Sure.
And he's training now with the guys at the Nightmare Factory. And your name is?
James Tapia. I actually trained back in the fall of 2020. So right now I'm back in Minnesota, but I did train there for.
What do you do in Minnesota?
I was trained under Ken Anderson, Sean Devari, and Eric Cannon up in Minnesota.
Mr. Anderson?
Mr. Anderson, yes, sir.
Is he crazy like he is on all of his shows?
He's the greatest, man. He's a good coach right there.
I bet so. I've always liked his ring work. So what are you hoping to do with this this stuff called professional wrestling?
Make it as big as I can, honestly. I know one big goal I have for myself is I one day want to wrestle in Mexico, because that's where I originally grew up watching wrestling, Lucha Libre, you know? So it would mean a lot to me to one day go back to that country and just wrestle at least one show in that country.
Man, I tell you what, if you get a chance to meet Vicky Guerrero or any of the Guerreros, man, you got it going there.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, I've been wrestling for 4 years, and I've gotten the opportunity to, like, just meet or be in locker rooms for, like, full of people that I just grew up watching. It's crazy to me. You know, sometimes it doesn't hit until I sit back and realize, like, what I've, you know, little James, what he was wishing, and then he's, like, the dream that he's living now. So it's been a crazy 4 years, honestly.
Let's talk about some of your people that you really watched when you were growing up loving wrestling.
Oh, I loved Rey Mysterio. Rey Mysterio was like my big hero when I was little. In Mexico, when I was growing up, there was a guy named Tarzan Boy in CMLL. But then Ken Anderson again, big one.
Anderson,
yep, Mr. Anderson. Just because he had the mic skills right, so like. That really gravitated me towards that. Kane with the entrance as a little kid, the explosion, that stuff always got me as well. Just the anyone with the entrance and like had pyro, honestly, always caught my attention as a little kid, because I was like, man, that's so cool. I'd be in school, you know, pretending like I was walking in, hitting that pyro, like a pyro just entrance, you know, as I was walking into the classroom and stuff. So yeah, anyone with pyro, they caught my attention.
And you probably already have your theme music all set, right?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Custom music by Hot Tag Media Works, I believe is what they were called. But yes, sir.
You got it going, then?
Trying to get it going. Trying to get something, you know. It's just, trying to invest in myself. That's what they say, right? Invest in yourself. So I'm hoping one day it pays off for me.
Well, thank you for joining us on Turnbuckle Trash. Sir. Now we're going to talk to my man from Chicago, right?
Yes, sir.
And your name is?
My name is Abraham Storm, and I am the best fighter in the world.
You're a stocky man.
Yes, I am. Stocky man with hands.
Okay. Now in Chicago, who did you watch when you were growing up?
Yeah, my favorite wrestlers growing up was Sting. I loved his gimmick. I loved the jacket. He was a man with a lot of mystery. One of my other favorite ones is Brock Lesnar. He kind of inspired me with my gimmick because he's a real-life MMA fighter. He won the UFC title, so he's one of the people that kind of inspired my gimmick. And also, I'm a big fan of Bill Goldberg.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he's a powerhouse.
Okay. So have you done MMA too?
I've done some boxing and wrestling. I've never done MMA, but I've done boxing and wrestling. So, like, I love fighting. So, anything involving fighting.
I ain't messing with you, my man. There ain't no way. So, yeah. So, tell me about yourself and tell me about how you grew up watching wrestling and what you're wanting to do with this now.
Yeah, so, like, when I started watching wrestling, I was, like, 4 years old. I got three older brothers and my dad. They used to love watching wrestling. Like, they watched the Attitude Era. My dad taught me about Vern Gagne and Bruiser Brody, all the guys back in his time. So I know, like, a lot about wrestling. So ever since I started watching as a little kid, like, it just inspired me. Like, it caught my attention.
When you said Bruiser Brody, you got my attention, man. I tell you, I saw that guy more than once, and he was incredible.
Yeah.
So now I'm and let's just in about a year we're gonna start seeing you on TV pretty soon, right?
Yeah, hopefully. Yeah, you never know. Maybe by the end of the year, it could be AEW, Impact. You know, I'm just on the grind right now, and I'm just going with the flow. But my goal is to be on TV and be a world champ one day.
And you are training right now at the Nightmare Factory.
Yes, trained by Cody Rhodes, QT Marshall, and Glacier from WCW.
Yeah, say it right, QT Marshall.
Marshall,
he'll get on you now.
Yeah. Do forgive me, Coach, if you're watching this interview. QT Marshall.
Hey, thank you, man. Good luck.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
And this guy scares me here. No, you don't scare me. You're just really, you are really put together, my man. Give me your name again.
Jameson Ryan.
Jameson. Now, Jameson, how long have you been training wrestling now?
I've been training for about a year and a half now. I only have about 3 matches under my belt. But I've been lifting weights since I was 20 years old. You can pull up my Instagram. It's Posed Malone, P-O-S-E-D-M-A-L-O-N-E. And you'll see that I have the best body in the business. Nobody spends more time in the gym than I do. Nobody perfects their diet more than I do. And nobody's going to tell you how much better they are than I do.
Are you better than me?
Of course.
I ain't doubting the dude, not at all. Where are you from, man?
Buffalo, New York originally, but now I live in Atlanta for the last 6 years, and I've been training at the Nightmare Factory, QT, Ray Lloyd, Glacier, Dr. Luther, he's helped me out a lot, and Preston Vance, number 10.
Yeah, he's and you were telling me that you're also training with Manny a little bit?
Manny's training with me.
Training,
trying to get buff.
Yeah, you're doing a good job training with him.
Manny's jacked. I like Manny. You know who's not in shape, though, is Brett Buffshay. Well, I'm going to whoop on tomorrow night.
Oh, you're going to take on Brett?
Oh, I'm going to beat him down like a dog.
Call him Brother Austin.
Brother Austin?
Call him Brother Austin. He'll probably get mad at you, you know.
Good. Even better. Even better.
Well, dude, I appreciate you taking time. And has anybody else got any social media you want to talk about?
Yes, guys. Abraham Storm Official on Instagram. And on Twitter, it's at Abraham Storms. S-T-O-R-N as in ever, E-S. So Abraham Storm Official for Instagram and at Abraham Storms for Twitter.
Thanks, man. And you got any social media?
Yes, sir. James Tappy Official on Instagram and Official Tappy on Twitter.
I thought I recognized you. You've been on Dark, right?
Yes, sir. I've been on Dark, and I've had one match on 205 Live as well.
Oh,
yes,
sir. That's awesome, dude. So,
Turnbuckle Trash is growing. Now, Turnbuckle Trash can be heard on Apple Podcast, Breaker, CastBox, Google Podcast, Overcast, Pocket Cast, Radio Public, Spotify, and TuneIn.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the Big LG Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
So that was a great interview, Dave.
Oh, thank you.
How did you get? I've always admired Dave's interviewing skills. You know, you do such a good job with those. You know, just off the cuff questions and those important questions. And you just, you know, many, many years in the business, Dave, paid off for you.
Well, basically, I mean, I'm going to pat myself on the back. I ask things that I want to know about.
Mm-hmm.
And I like finding out a little something about somebody who's a performer, because you know the respect I have for those guys. Mm-hmm. But I also like to find out a little bit about them as a person and make them realize that I realize what they're doing is not only dangerous but also entertaining, and I want them to know that I appreciate that. And I do that with other interviews. I mean, with my other podcast too, which, by the way, we're going to be interviewing a man on Radio Guy Reflections named Art Rascone. And Art Rascone is a TV in Houston, Texas, and his brother Dan works for KSL in Salt Lake City. And I've known Art for years. Matter of fact, gave him his first job in radio. And Art Rascone has been a correspondent for the CBS Evening News. And one of the biggest stories he covered was the Oklahoma City bombing.
Wow, interesting.
And we're going to get some stories from that. And that's going to be on Radio Guy Reflections. And in the future, talking to a great sportscaster named Bob Apoon. And Bob has done stuff for NASCAR, Indy type racing, any kind of automobile racing you can imagine. Also college basketball, NBA, college football, and everything. And it'll be a great interview, and we'll have that on in the next couple of weeks. So there's my plug for my other podcast.
So Poon, that's an interesting last name. Is that Comanche Indian?
he told me once that every town he went into, he'd always grab the phone book and see if there were any other Apoons. It's APPHUN, I believe.
Well, I believe Chevy Chase had a character in Fletch named Poon.
Oh, boy, you've seen that Poon. More than I have. So
Poon, that's an interesting last name. It's Comanche Indian.
But yeah, let's get back into the wrestling thing now. I want to find out more about the crowd. What kind of crowd was there? Because these guys, you know, they work so hard and they promote their event. They do lots of public service stuff. And I'm hoping the crowd was good for them.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there was a couple hundred people there, I'll bet.
Oh, that's good. That's good.
And I'll tell you, so I wish I'm kind of bummed because he snuck out really fast. But there's a guy that sat next to me. He's like, I just moved to Salt Lake. I was looking for something to do. So I came down here and just bought a ticket. He's like, I was followed wrestling a lot when I was younger, but he's like, I've been out of it for a long time. He's like, this is awesome.
Yeah.
He said, this is so fun. So he's like, I don't know what's going on. And so the most of the night I would say, okay, this is so-and-so. This is Manny. Manny owns the promotion. That's his wife, Rekka. You know, and I was trying to like kind of help him explain. I wanted to get him on. If he's at the next event, I'm going to get him on here to get his another fellow fan's perspective. Because you and I hype up DCW a lot, but it would be interesting and nice to hear somebody from a perspective of like, hey, I've been out of following for a long time, and all of a sudden, you know, I'm back in it again, or here I am enjoying just an entertaining night. And we've talked about that a lot before too, where it's like, good grief, even if you don't like wrestling, you know, even if it's not your thing, it's like, buy a damn ticket and go be entertained for the night. You know,
I had a similar thing happen. One of my first events that I went to go to a DCW event. I don't think you came to this one. And there was teenagers, I would say four or five of them, that came in. And they were just downtown, and they saw the, you know, said people saying wrestling and stuff. They came in, and there was this one guy who was so hyped about it because he loves professional wrestling. And I was talking to him, and he came over and said, well, how long has it been going? This is great. So I told him how to get on their Facebook page, told him how to get on their Instagram page. And then I told him every month they do this. And I saw him again, but it was way across the area. And I think, I'm not so sure, he might be training with them a little bit too. I thought I saw him. So this was a young man that he was just so hyped. I mean, he was jumping up and down. He was about 16 or 17 when I saw him. And that, you know, that's a couple of years ago. It is a great event.
Another thing really that was really well tonight, I mean, they've done some serious, I mean, big time props to Manny, and to see the progression of, you know, I mean, I'm sure, I'm sure that was nerve-wracking and scary, and to try to line everything up, you know, and get everything dialed in to where devotion is right now. Their refs last night were awesome.
Really?
I mean, not just your some of those events we've gone to where they just, you know, the refs kind of stands there and counts. I mean, these refs were, you watch the hair, watch the, no more hitting him in the throat. One, two, three. I mean, they were into it.
Good.
And, and the distractions, here comes MK and Kid Ref. They're, up there, and the ref's like, you guys need to get down here. And meanwhile, the other guys are over there pummeling, And, I mean, it was – so big-time props to the whole night, and to see the professionalism and to see how far that event and that promotion has come. I mean, Dave, Devotion Championship Wrestling is – they're putting Utah wrestling on the map.
And, when I talked to Manny, and I talked to him a little bit on Friday, and this, this was just a personal conversation. He said that when QT Marshall, or as he is talked about on AEW, QT Marshall, and that's just a joke with Tony, with those guys on the announcing team. Anyway, QT Marshall will come in, that something else is in the works that they're going to announce in October. What that is, I don't know. But I do know this, that Manny is training there with the Nightmare Factory, and so is Rekka. Now, Manny trains with QT Marsha, and Rekka is training with Cody Rhodes in a
really?
Different class, yes. And I think that they're very impressed with both of them. And then you've got Buff Mache that's also there. Mm-hmm. He does some stuff at the Nightmare Factory, and then he also – wrestles for Doc Gallo's Georgia promotion, and also will wrestle in Ohio Valley. And that young man, by the way, the former brother Austin.
Yeah, Brett Buffshea.
Yeah, he has really tightened up his act. I mean, this guy has got a body on him now. He's almost becoming a bodybuilder. He's getting that type of arms, and his thighs are just monstrous. And
he's got a great gimmick, too. I mean, he really gets into his... He really gets into his character, and you can tell he really enjoys it.
Yeah, and then his former partner, Brother Chapman, he's now turned. He's part of Tombstone Judas and the MK Bandit and Kid Ref, who's now turned evil. So, they do a great job. That's the one thing I want to tell everyone. Don't take our word for it. We get excited because, we've had the opportunity to know these guys. And, some of them I call my friends, I really do. And I think you do too. But just putting that aside, as wrestling fans, we enjoy it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm going to go back up to the September event. Maybe this is worth saying, maybe it's not. I don't know. But I had bought your seats for DCW. An emergency came up, and you weren't able to attend. And Manny, how awesome
he's a dude, isn't
he?
He's a man.
He told me, no problem. I was just going to credit you for the next month. Come
on.
I mean, he didn't have to do that.
No.
I mean, he could have said, hey, tough shit. Dave didn't come. Those seats were, you snooze, you lose. But he didn't do that.
Yeah.
Didn't do that. So.
That's the one thing I've noticed about Manny is he's very fan-oriented. I think he knows which side of the bread is buttered on, if you get my drift.
Yeah.
He knows without having fans, without treating people properly and treating them with respect, that he has no business. And I think he's trying to, as he told me once, he says, when I eat, I want my people to eat. So he spreads the wealth around, he gives his guys high spots, gives them the belt, lets them sell merch, I just, I can't say enough, Manny. Thank you so much.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and what a great guy. Yeah. I mean, just what a fantastic human being. You know, you can tell Manny's just a good all around dude. Yeah. You really can tell that.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, Dave, it was a great night. It was a lot of fun. There was tons going on. You know, there was just, I mean, it's hard for me to, I should have taken notes, Dave, is what I should have done, because there was so much going on and just so much to do and so much to see and so much entertainment going on that it was flipping just awesome.
Yeah, they do a great job there. And their next event is coming up in September. It's Remember the Fallen. Because a lot of these people are kind of like you and I. We're very pro-military as far as remembering those guys that put their lives on the line for us each and every day. And it's called Remember the Fallen. It'll be September the 11th. So that's also a big, big, important day. And that's a day we'll never forget, September the 11th. So that's coming up. And then in October, they're going to have the event itself on October the 9th. Friday, October the 8th is part of the seminar evaluation, and I'm hoping, like heck, I'd love to go watch some of that again. I hope Manny will invite me again, even though I couldn't come this past time. But, yeah, that, they do a great job.
So I want to kind of shift gears a little bit here, Dave. Okay. We've covered the event. We've talked a lot about that and what a great event it was. We'll reiterate. I want to talk to you a minute about so something like this, like with Doc Gallows coming up and this Impact stuff coming up, and when they bring these big names like that into Utah, what does that mean for a promotion? Is that a good thing? Is that a bad thing? Is that a risky thing? Does that cost money? Do you know much about that?
Well, you know, I don't know. I can't speak for the Doc Gallows. Because I have no idea. I know Doc, when he did his meet and greet, he was selling opportunities for photos. And then, you know, if you want to take a personal photo with him and then take it to the event on Saturday night, he'd sign it for free. But, you know, he sold the photo op. He also sold the autograph pictures and things like that. And then on Saturday night, he was selling more merchandise. So that's probably where most of the money comes from. But I mean, I wouldn't fly out someplace without being reimbursed and, you know, and having my food taken care of and maybe an appearance fee, which I'm going to take this off the professional wrestling map, okay?
Okay.
I'm going to put this into something that I do know happens for, like, Comic-Cons, FanX, and Salt Lake City. When these big performers come in, they usually get an appearance fee. Whatever that is, I don't know, you know. For bigger stars, it would be something big. And I imagine Doc Gallows, pretty big star, was, you know, a pretty big fee. But that's where they really make their money, is by selling merchandise, selling autographs, and selling the pictures, you know. And that's where they make their money. And I'll tell you one more little thing, caveat to this. A few years ago at the Cache Valley Cruise Inn, some of the stars of American Graffiti were here, including the actress Candy Clark. Wonderful lady, wonderful actress, and she was here to make money. That's all. You know, I shouldn't make fun of her, but I can't tell you how many times Candy asked me, where's everybody? I got to sell some pictures. I got to make some money. And I kept on telling her on Friday, I said, well, Saturday's going to be the day you're going to make some money. And right in the middle of the parade, she stopped, made the car stop that had her in the parade on Saturday evening, and she came over and hugged my neck and told me, I made a lot of money today. Thanks for letting me know that. So, you know, and that's what happened, you know. And they get an appearance fee. They get a lot of their expenses taken care of. But they're here to sell merch and sell autographs. And don't let anybody fool you. You know, they enjoyed meeting people. But they're here to make money, not like anybody. You know, money is the best kind of present you can get, because it's always the right size and it's always the right color.
I like that.
Yeah. That's what I like, you know, for Christmas is money, baby.
Well, And that's why a lot of isn't there. I mean, you hear of it quite regularly on you know, like with the WWE and stuff. Like, they sign exclusive contracts, and so they're not allowed to go to these types of events and market themselves. And that frustrates a lot of
unless they have a handler, unless they have a handler with them from the WWE. You remember when I met Ron Simmons?
Uh-huh.
Okay. Ron Simmons was at like the second Comic-Con I went to in Salt Lake City. And I was wanting to interview the guy, and he was so nice and kind and everything, but he couldn't because he had a Legends contract and he had a handler with him making sure that everybody who got a picture or everybody who had an autograph got money. And Ron got some of it. The WWE got some of it. And that's just, I mean, that's the way it goes. Although when I met Jerry Lawler, I asked him about his Legends contract, and Jerry the King Lawler looked at me and says, I have never had a contract with Vince McMahon.
Really?
He said he never had a signed contract with Vince. And that surprised me to no end. I guess that's why he's come and gone so much, you know. He was there for years with JR doing the announce team. Then he comes back for a special event. He usually is there for the pay-per-views, like, you know, he was at the last one, and he'll be at SummerSlam, and he'll get an appearance fee, I'm sure. But he told me, and, I have no reason not to believe him. He said he had never signed a contract with Vince.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, you know, and I know that there's, like, a lot of those people, you know, a lot of guys even with the travel and all that stuff they got to pay for in the WWE, they always talk about they make more money on the independent circuit.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and you going around. And that's their money. They don't have to, you know, they don't have to give that to Vince. They don't have to do anything with that.
Right.
So speaking of Vince,
go for
what
it.
What in the heck is going on at the WWE, Dave?
Man, you know, they've made so many cuts over the last 6 months. I think the one that everybody is freaking out about is Bray Wyatt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know why this happened. I don't want to speculate why, but he had a big money contract. However, when he was released, mm-hmm. evidently Dave Metzler of the, you know, the Wrestling Observer heard
that
from
guy knows, that guy knows everything.
Yeah, that's just ask him, he'll tell you. He reported that executives from the USA Network and from Fox were both upset because they looked at the merchandise sales that Bray Wyatt was and then the bump that would happen when Bray would make an appearance. Either as The Fiend or Bray Wyatt or the Firefly Funhouse, because I have two Firefly Funhouse shirts, and mm-hmm. I also have Bray Wyatt action figures, including one as where he's carrying that, what is it, the lantern with the head? Remember that one? I have the action figure of that. So what's going to happen? I don't know. Of course, everybody speculates, oh, he's going to be winding up at AEW. We don't know that because there's also things that he might be retiring from wrestling, tired of it. He might go into business with his brother, Bo Dallas, doing something else, or he might go on the independent circuit for a while. We don't know. All I know is this guy is one of the great talents, and he was released along with Aleister, now McAleister Black, in AEW. And all the people that know, and I'm not putting myself in the know because I don't know, but they're saying those are two of the most creative people they've come around in years. And I think it's just a great mistake. And then, I mean, did you hear how many people were released by NXT last Friday?
Yeah.
11, including Bronson Reed and Bobby Fish. Then listen to this. Listen to this. All the experts are saying that Vince is told, and this was a Vince McMahon and his men, not to go after the small guys again, not to go after the Tommaso Ciampas and the Johnny Garganos, and not to go after old guys just starting, you know, after 30 years old. And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, is Vince putting his mitts into NXT? And if he is, he better not mess it up. Because yeah. NXT, I mean, as much as I love AEW, I really do, NXT is my favorite show to watch. And it has been for about a year. NXT, then AEW, then SmackDown, and then a distant fourth is Raw. You know?
Yeah.
I just, Raw sometimes drives me nuts. But that's the word is Vince is saying he wants to revamp NXT to go with the bigger muscular guys and the taller guys. It does me because if you go back and you watch some of the takeovers, Tommaso Ciampa, Johnny Gargano for like three takeovers in a row. Holy moly. Mm-hmm. Those were some wrestling matches that not only told great stories, those two men put their bodies on the line and they were awesome. You know, I can't go any farther than saying they were awesome. So I'm going to reserve judgment. You come back in a couple of months after we see some of these changes on NXT, and if they mess it up, I'm going to, yeah, you know, I'm not going to be happy with this.
And that whole nobody over 30, that pisses me off because, you know, if you're in good shape and, you know, you can hold your own, you still got a lot of good years left in you, especially, you know, those guys like Ric Flair and them, you know, he's still doing stuff and he's old.
Yeah.
I mean, Terry Funk is still having matches out there.
Well, he recently stopped. Terry Funk did. Because his health has really taken a dive. And Ric Flair was one of those recently released, too. He's no longer under contract to go backstage or do anything on TV for a while. He'll do an appearance fee type thing. But Ric Flair, I mean, why wouldn't you want Ric Flair to at least make television's appearances coming out every once in a while, you know? Mm-hmm. But he's no longer under contract, reportedly, because he was upset with the way Charlotte was being booked.
Yeah.
So interesting. You can say what you want about that, but yeah, that's kind of interesting when you start thinking about that way. So.
Yeah, and you know who one of the greatest professional wrestlers is of all time,
who's that?
Didn't get his start in the business till he was 37.
DDP.
Yeah.
Diamond
Dallas. That guy went on to have one AC double hockey sticks of a career.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's just, I don't know. If that is true, I disagree with that to the fullest. Right. That is just arrogance and ignorance. Yeah. Now, we can't. Everybody speculates on Vince being a dick and being an a-hole. And I don't know. Is he? We don't know him personally.
Well, you know, I'll say this about Vince McMahon because I don't know him personally. But how many people have left that company under bad terms but have come back later? I mean, look at Kurt Angle. He hugged the man, you know, when he came back. And, you know, there's other wrestlers that have gone away and come back and gone away and come back. And I think Vince is one, he wants you around if he can make a buck off of you.
Mm-hmm.
And he's also helped pay for a lot of wrestlers who have been, needing drug therapy because they've been having problems with that. And he's helped them out with their bills and stuff like that. He's done that kind of thing that we don't know a whole lot about. But
yeah.
I think if he sees the chance to make money, then, you know, it's all bets are off. They'll be buddy-buddy again. But he also is a caring individual enough that he's helped several wrestlers out with drug rehab and alcohol rehab and also injury rehab. But he's also cut people that he hasn't helped a bit. So, You know, you just never know. Yeah.
And you know, everybody can sit and speculate on what goes on behind the scenes of the WWE, and the only people that know what goes on behind the scenes of the WWE are
people at
the WWE. Yeah. So if that's true, I 150% disagree with that, because, you know, there's a lot of good talent out there that can be a little bit older, or, you know, and a lot of like I know in professional sports, you know, like NBA and stuff, they like those guys that are, you know, in their mid 30s that have played in the league for, you know, 10 years. You know, they call them those veterans, you know, because they can bring a lot to the locker room, and they bring a lot to the, you know, the talent pool, and they, you know, are good, like, relief for the younger guys, but yet they can still go and they still provide a good player for the team, you know?
Yeah, they also can teach. How many times have we read or talked about a wrestler who's a big star that will take the time to thank somebody who was an older person, you know, a veteran, that showed them how to be a professional wrestler?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. So there's a lot of that out there too. I mean, so I don't know. Like I said, if that's true, I disagree with it. If it's not true, then I don't know. Life goes on, I guess. You know, so are we going to see, you know, more of these names pop up in AEW? Are we going to see Impact become more of a force to reckon with? Are we going to see ROH come out from the shadows and really take on some of these competitions, you know, some of this stuff? I mean, I wonder what the future holds for, you know, wrestling in the future.
If the news is correct, you know, and once again, when you read it on the internet, you gotta take a little grain of salt, but evidently,
what?
Yeah. Evidently, there is an agreement between AEW, New Japan, Impact Wrestling, ROH, and the NWA to start sharing talent. The
Camille Brickhouse was on AEW the other day, wasn't she?
Yeah, she was last week. And then John Moxley, who's been wrestling between AEW and New Japan, is going to be appearing at the New Japan event in Los Angeles. We've had some people from the Bullet Club of Japan last week at AEW, and ROH is going to be getting involved. And this is good. As long as they can keep what's good for business. Now, I'm not talking what's good for AEW. I'm not talking what's good for the NWA, you know, because we're going to have people that have big personalities, big money, and they might clash in the future. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping they can keep that clash from really happening, and they can say, you know what, let's go with this booking this time because it's best for business. And if you look at what Impact has done right now with All Elite, you've got the Elite, which is the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and the Good Brothers all together appearing on both shows. I mean, Kenny Omega is the champion for Impact and also for All Elite and Impact. You got the Good Brothers, the Impact World Champions Tag Team. You got the Young Bucks, the AEW Tag Team Champions, all coexisting as the Elite. You still have the Bullet Club, very active all over the world. And then you've got the NWA, which they still have some great talent in the NWA. I was watching some of their most recent videos on YouTube just in the past 24 hours. Some good stuff there. But I think it's how egos get involved and whether they can say what's best for the business instead of what's best for my company alone. And I hope they can do that.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and it's cool to see, you know, like old Kenny Omega and stuff go back and forth. And I don't know. It's pretty cool, isn't it?
Yeah, there's rumors about the next AEW pay-per-view that Hangman Adam Page is supposed to take on Kenny Omega. And the rumor is that they're going to change that and they're going to put Christian Cage in there. I don't like that. But I'm not a Christian Cage fan. Okay, put it right there. I never have been a big fan of Christian Cage or Edge. Okay, but you know, if it works out for him, fine. I would just, to me personally, I'd rather see Hangman in there. So we'll have to see what happens there. But boy, we have a lot of news that I don't know if you've heard about. If you don't mind,
no.
Go over some of the news that I think you'll probably enjoy over the weekend. The Suicide Squad with You Can't See Me, John Cena, pulling in $26.5 million at box office. Now, that figure is going to have to be rethought, okay, because of the streaming numbers on HBO Max.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can't say it underperformed or overperformed. I watched it on my HBO Max. I did not like it. Honestly. You know me, wow. I have superhero movies. I just didn't like it. I thought it was
because,
yeah.
Well, the first one sucked. So what makes you think this one wouldn't suck?
There were some moments, but overall, and Eddie, I've messed up your name. He liked it. He's on our Facebook page. He liked it. I didn't like it at all. So, It did 26.5. The Rock's movie, Dwayne The Rock Johnson's Jungle Cruise, he dipped to 15.7 million. In his second week out, but he's also streaming. And here's something you're going to like to hear about The Rock. Came out today. He said that he bathes, showers, whatever it is, he bathes 3 times a day. He wakes up, takes a cold shower to wake him up. Then he goes, works out. Then he takes, you know, to get his body ready for the rest of the day, takes a hot shower. Then he works, and then before bedtime, he's taking another shower. And he sings off-key. Yeah. I just thought that was kind of weird, but it's doing pretty good. All Elite Wrestling, they're getting ready for their first dance at AEW Rampage this coming August the 20th. It's going to be at the United Center in Chicago. They've released 500 more tickets after they've almost sold out what they were going to do. Now, that's the date that a lot of people are speculating that CM Punk is going to make his debut in Chicago where he lives.
Well, interesting.
And he reportedly has signed with AEW.
Well, you know, I also wanted to tell you, you know, I've toyed with SummerSlam stuff and figured, you know, trying to see if I can make it work, but I officially will not be attending. The Las Vegas Stadium announced that they're going to go with all the CDC freaking crap and make people wear masks and all the crap like that. So I'd rather just stay away from that.
Yeah, and watch it on the network. You got Peacock, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to be doing.
Yeah.
So then, you know, we talked about the NXT. But there's also going to be a new Steve Austin, the Broken Skull session. That's going to be on Sunday the 15th. That's coming up this Sunday. And it's going to be Bobby Lashley.
Oh, wow.
That will be an interesting one. Now, think about this. Steve Austin was the special guest referee in the hair versus hair match with Donald Trump Vince. Yeah. And Lashley was part of that with Kamala.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So they'll probably have a good laugh about that.
Heck yeah.
And Steve Austin, by the way, has become such a good interviewer. I will tip my hat to him, somebody who doesn't have that formal training.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's what, you know, something you say about me. He listens. He has a few questions that he is interested in, but he listens to the answers and then finds out what he wants to find out. And I think that's what makes a good interviewer. So,
oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that's
absolutely
unreal.
Unlike me, I get too excited and I just ramble on.
I become a fanboy. I become a fanboy every once in a while. I really do. So,
yeah, yeah. And well, then, Dave, gosh,
one more quick little thing, if you don't mind.
Yeah. And,
you know, we've talked about how hard it is to get Impact Wrestling sometimes to watch it and follow it.
Mm-hmm.
They have announced that they're going to have a new service on YouTube. One is a pay service where you can pay 99 cents a month, and on Thursday you can watch Impact Wrestling on YouTube.
Oh, really?
It's 99 cents a month. They have two different tiers.
That might
be worth it. Yeah, it could be. So, you know, that, but just kind of look into that if you want to follow Impact Wrestling. 99 cents a month for that's their tier one. They also have a second tier that I'm not real familiar with right now. But
well, and you know, I enjoy watching their quite often actually. Like, they have the Impact 24-hour day, 7-day week channel on Pluto.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll be scrolling through at night, and I'll go, oh, hey, you know, I wonder who's on. You know, every once in a while, Sting or Jeff Jarrett or somebody will be out there, and I'll be like, oh, right on, good match. You know,
and then if you're lucky, there'll be one that's, you know, only a couple weeks old.
Yeah.
I watched one from July 21st just a few days ago. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's
so
cool.
It's been jam-packed, hasn't it?
Yeah, it's been exciting and it's been fun. And, yeah, I just, you know, enjoy professional wrestling. It's one of the few things right now in life that is, you know, you can always guarantee that professional wrestling is always going to be, you know, somewhat steady. You know, you can always guarantee that Raw is going to be there on Monday night. SmackDown's going to be there on Friday night. Your independents, our independents here in Salt Lake, once a month. It's like, so it's pretty good to schedule your life around and still be a wrestling fan. It's a great hobby.
Yeah, and then you've got Tuesday night, you have NXT. Wednesday night, you have AEW. Thursday night, you have Impact. So if you wanted to watch wrestling every night of the week, weekdays, you could do that.
Yeah.
And then go to a live event on the weekend.
Awesome.
Ah, love it.
Well, Dave, I hope that next month maybe your health can, you know, get you out to where, you know, you can do some more live events and some things like that. And kudos to you I know you've been working really hard on that. So good for you for working hard to try to get your health back up so that you can go enjoy these finer things in life.
Yeah. I will be doing that still. Just got to drop a few tons. I mean, pounds. But yeah, we're trying our best. So that's the best part.
Well, Dave, as always, gosh, it's a great time to be a wrestling fan, so keep it up, buddy.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
Wrestling was an essential service.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Correct!
The thoughts and opinions heard on the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being.
Well, if you want a rematch, aren't getting one.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm Impact Wrestling World Tag Team Champion, the big LG Doc Gallows, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Trash Podcast.
Thank you for coming. Hope you enjoyed your time.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
And he was ready to, you know, go Hulk up and beat up some people.
Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood.
They tore that fetching house down.
Has Vince lost his last marble?
Whoa.
I have hair envy.
Well, I watched the WWE Open Game Time, and then I watched AEW. You know what? Go back to preschool, you idiot.
Buy a damn ticket and go be entertained for the night.
I think I'll take your advice. I think I will pull my head out. Thank you very much for setting me straight.
I get too excited and I just ramble on.